We are a proud member of the 143 Podcast Network.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
The Cheers to Comics podcast is proudly affiliated with NSCLiveTV.com. That's No Signal Comics. NSCLiveTV.com. Find the Cheers to Comics podcast on channel 34 of NSCLiveTV.com. No Signal Comics. The best in auction action. Well, hello again, slurds. Welcome back to the Cheers to Comics podcast. I am your host, Brian Wayne, and this is Creator Corner. The creator that I cornered on this here episode is a Mr. Ahmed Alamin. Now, Ahmed Alamin, you may not recognize his name quite yet, but you will. You will. Once his Indiegogo kicks off. No, I have no doubt it's going to be fully funded and, oh, good stuff, man. This is actually a story. When I heard it, it really struck with me, because I really did, as I say throughout this podcast, like I say, it was something that I kind of attempted myself, and I was talked out of it, and he was much braver than I am, and it already looks like he created something much cooler than I could ever do, or thought of doing. So, I can't wait for you to learn all about Ahmed Alamin. But first, you know, I got to tell you where to get comics, right? And that's Hooked on Comics. Hooked on Comics. Now, you find them on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Tuesdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Tuesdays and Saturdays. Tuesdays at 6 Eastern. Saturdays at 7 Eastern. And it is just the best auction action that I can find on Tuesdays and Saturdays at 6 and 7. that's all there is to it. And even further than that, I love Hooked on Comics. I do. I'm proud to have them as a sponsor. And it's a great way to get comics without having to leave the house, man. I know there's still a lot of people, even though things are opening up, people are still a little afraid. And I totally understand that. So jump on Hooked on Comics. Now, you do so by going to NSCLiveTV.com. You can find Hooked on Comics on Facebook. So join their group. Follow their page. And then you can also find them in the Cheers to Comics Facebook group as well. Because you know I'm sharing all that goodness out. So, once again, Tuesdays at 6 Eastern Time and Saturdays at 7 Eastern Time. And beyond that, they throw out some pretty awesome just $5 bin bids and stuff too. Not necessarily bids, but just $5 bin books is what I'm trying to say. So as long as you're following those groups, you'll get those feeds, man. It's there's always some amazing stuff. So, support those, support this podcast. And you know, I'm talking about Hooked on Comics, and thank you NSCLiveTV.com for bringing me this great sponsor. So, now without further ado, I got to bring to you Mr. Ahmed Alamin. Ahmed Alamin, how are you, sir?
I'm fine. How are you?
I am excellent. I am excellent. I was happy that you reached out to me. I'm always welcoming to independent creators. I think that's a big reason why I do this podcast, is creators like you needing just some sort of step, some sort of pedestal to get your creations out there. And when you approached me with this particular Epics of Enkidu, am I saying that right? Epics of Enkidu?
Yeah, that's what it's called.
Yeah, and you told me about this premise. It was something that was actually near and dear to my heart. I'll get to that more in a second. I'm happy to have you on. How are you right now? Calling all the way from Kuwait. I mean, what is the? I mean, I have to bring up the C word, the coronavirus. I mean, what is the state of Kuwait right now? And I mean, as a comic book creator, I mean, everything. How are things over there? Give us, the listeners, a little bit of insight.
Well, we're in quarantine at the moment, of course. Everyone's staying at home. And it's kind of an upside for creators because you get more time to work on your writing, in my case, in my comic. So it's there's a positive and negative at the same time, you know.
Yes. No, I'm glad that you're one of the ones that are taking the time to actually work harder and not say, well, most of everybody else doesn't really have to work right now, so I'm just going to kind of take me a little mini vacation and blah, blah, blah. And I mean, sure, I mean, a lot of creators deserve that, but the ones that stand above and will be the ones recognized, I would say the cream rises to the top, are going to be the ones working even harder right now. So it's refreshing to hear that someone like you, new to the industry, is, yeah, on that level. So that's awesome. Now, before we're done with the corona stuff, that's out of the way. we're gonna make this a pretty positive podcast for the remainder of this. So before we jump into your particular story, I'd like the listeners to get a little bit of insight as to you and your history with comics as a creator and just in comics in general. So I gotta know, what was it that got you into comics? How old were you when you remember first falling in love?
Well, I remember I was, I think, 11 years old. It was in the mid-90s. I mean, I didn't look at the comic medium as, I mean, I used to look at it as, you know, like something mostly for kids, even though I was 10 years old, a kid at the time. But I remember I read this Batman versus Alien comic, and that's when I saw the potential for a wider audience, and I was really drawn to it. I remember that this is the moment I thought, yeah, comics are awesome, you know. But when did I get actually into doing comics, into actually drawing and doing and becoming more invested in it, was after watching a motion comic. Actually, it's a masterpiece of motion comics. It's called the Walking Saints. It was really amazing, the story, the way it was told. And I remember after I saw that motion comic, I thought, this is something I want to do. At the time, I was a writer, actually. I was in my mid-20s. But because no one wants to work as an artist for free, that's when I learned how to draw myself and how to do the motion comic myself, how to do the motion through After Effects and other softwares. And that's how I became more invested in comics until I came with the idea of the Epics of Enkidu earlier last year. And it was inspired by my nephew, who actually has autism.
Yes, so let's talk about this. Now, the reason that I say that this idea was close to me is because I have always found a fascination with the autistic community. There's always something that has drawn me to that. It's just an admiration that I can't quantify and explain. I really can't. I truly believe that it's a superpower in its own, and they're the next level. We should aspire to be more like them. I've always looked at things. It's gonna sound, a lot of people may cringe when I say this, but almost envious in a way, as how I've looked at it. So there was actually a point in time where I was drafting an idea for a superhero comic book team myself, centered around an autistic superhero. And when I pitched it to 5 different friends of mine, they said, this is career suicide for you. Don't do this. Don't do this. You don't have the ends to do it. You don't have the means. You don't have anybody in that community directly tied to you. The way you want to do it is going to be so lighthearted that it's going to come off as a comedy and a parody, and you're going to come off as a bully, even though those are not my intentions at all. So I scrapped the idea. you came at this and approached this with all of the things that I didn't have to make it work. So, once again, I guess I'm a little envious, but I'm so happy to read this, man. I can't wait to read it. This is something that you're campaigning for here. This is right now you could pre-register for the Indiegogo and all this. But before we get into the plugs and all of that, tell us everything about Epics of Enkidu.
Yeah, sure. Well, before I go into that, I mean, if you still have this idea, I really encourage you to do it. Your comic, the one with the autistic character. If you ever had the chance to do that, you do it. Don't listen to other people, you know?
Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah, so the Epics of Enkidu. It's actually a comic that features a superhero who happens to be autistic. And it is also a sequel to the oldest story ever found in human history, the Epics of Gilgamesh. I'm not sure if you heard about this epic.
I have heard of it, but I'm not as familiar with it as I'd like to be.
Yeah, well, it follows this Uruk Mesopotamian king named Gilgamesh with his adventure with his companion Enkidu. While I was reading this epic, and I read it, I revisited this epic many times, I was more drawn into Enkidu. You know, in the beginning of the story, Gilgamesh starts as a bad guy, as a tyrant king who even his people don't like him, and even the gods hate him. And it was this character, Enkidu, who changed him and made him a better person, you know? And it made me think, and not only he's a good guy, this Enkidu character, he's also, he was able to change a bad guy and made him into a better person. And I see all this goodness in him, in my nephew. And that's why I was really drawn to this character. And even his in the epic, in the poem, he was described as odd, the way they describe him. He didn't feel like a normal person, you know? And that's why it made me think, oh, what if I just made a twist on that epic and made it, you know, in my own? And I decided to make this Epic of Gilgamesh and set it, Epic of Enkidu, and set it in a more modern, in a modern setting, you know? So that's the general idea of the comic, actually. So about this character, you have a question?
it sounds incredible. It does. After laying out all of that, you know, then you put that in a modern world as a sequel. I mean, it just, I'm the more you talk, the more interested I am in this. So please keep going.
Oh, sure. Now, most people ask me how is autism is a superpower, you know, other than, of course, in the poems, it is mentioned that he's very strong. But my twist on autism in this comic is the character's brain works so fast that everything around him moves too slow. And this makes him socially odd and interacts with the world differently. But at the same time, it helps him analyze things and see patterns of everything around him, so he can anticipate everything. So he can see things that can happen before it happens. Pretty handy when he's in danger, but it poses a challenge when you try to communicate with him. Mm-hmm. So that's my twist. I'm sure you heard about this guy, Kim Peek, the one who inspired Rain Man. Have you heard about this movie, Rain Man?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, it's one of my all-time favorites.
Yeah, that character, Kim Peek, I mean, he can read one page. It took him a couple of seconds to finish, and he can retain 98% of the information. So his brain works fast, and he's also another inspiration of the for the comic, because his brain works so fast, he can read each page in a second or a couple of seconds. That makes me think, wow, that's kind of cool thing. So if I can employ that feature in my character, in my hero, that will be also awesome. So, yeah.
That's that's an incredibly useful ability and power to be able to read at that level. I mean, that the amount that one can accomplish, I mean, it, on in so many different scenarios, you're really creating this incredibly overpowered character. And if you think about it, you're just using abilities of regular people that walk among us. And that's the magical thing about this, man. And this is why I've always said, that's the next level. We should aspire. I mean, we shouldn't. There's us making anybody that bullies or makes fun of that community. I mean, watch out, because holy shit, man! It's a powerful thing, and I love that you incorporated this. It shows that I wasn't insane with my idea. There is somebody else out there that sees this on the same level that I do. Maybe the friends that I pitched it to are the narcissists, not me.
it's always different in your head. You know, when you have an idea in your head, you see it differently. But when you try to tell it to someone else, they have a different imagination about your idea. So it doesn't work with them. But if you really, you know, believe in that idea, just go for it. You know, that's what I always say to everyone who has a good idea. Even if I didn't feel like it's good when they pitch it for me, I just tell them to work on it. You know, so show me the end results. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad that you're creating the thing that I don't have the time to make anymore, because now I still get to, in some way, distant shape and form, enjoy something that I wanted to be able to enjoy. So, all the more reason why I'm so happy to have you on the show, Ahmed. I really do love the premise for this book. Now, what are your goals? Well, absolutely. What are your goals with this? I mean, how far is this going to be? Like a mini story or mini series, 6-issue type of deal? Is it going to be an epic where we can expect a 60-issue type of deal and then print it in an omnibus? I mean, how far do you want to go with this? It sounds like it's got an endless opportunities.
Exactly. I mean, the oldest version of the story was found 2000 BC. That's more than 4,000 years ago. So I have 4,000 years of history to play with, you know? So, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Exactly. Yeah. So the story is limitless. But at the same time, I don't like to write something that never ends, you know? So
gotcha.
Mainly I planned the first three volumes already. I have planned them. I have a beginning and ending, but I didn't plan how many volumes I'm gonna write to reach to that ending, you know. So yeah, I mean, it has so many possibilities and so many actually side stories can be written, because I have a lot of different diverse characters from other myths, you know. And one of the things I'd like to do in this comic, in the campaign, in the Indiegogo campaign, is one of the perks is to the people who pick it is to name the character after them and choose a mythical character from their own history. So that's what I meant when I say it's limitless, because I can create different characters from different mythology and set them all in the same world.
That's incredible. I can't wait for this thing to start, just so I can go through and pick which tier. Oh, man, I'm already thinking of names and stuff. I am. I mean, obviously you have my backing. I mean, I would never have anybody on my show and not back their project. I have people on my show because I believe in them. I tell plenty of people no, because not everything's, you know, what I believe. There's some things I believe that deserve more recognition than others. Let's put it that way. There's a lot of people making things, and a lot of people that are making great things that, because of the vast ocean that they're in, they don't get that ability. So when I do bring people onto the show, it's because I believe in the project and the creator. So no, you obviously have my backing. I've always done Kickstarter. I've never backed on Indiegogo. Is there from a creator, an indie creator's perspective, what made you go with Indiegogo?
I don't have a definitive answer, but the reason why I went there, I remember there's this movie, it's called Hardcore Henry or something like that.
Yes, it's like the first person. I've yet to see it, but I've okay.
Yeah. It's actually funded by Indiegogo, and I don't know, when I thought, should I pick this or should I pick Kickstarter, should I pick Indiegogo, so I didn't know which one. I looked at the layouts, and I don't know, for some reason I was drawn to Indiegogo when I saw the layout, how the comics are presented when you try to look for a budget back. So I thought, okay, I'll just go with that one. I just went with my guts on this, so yeah.
Cool. Oh, I mean, I'm not judging by any means. I was just out of curiosity. I thought, well, everybody's ever done Kickstarter. Maybe this guy knows something nobody else does with Indiegogo. But, all right, cool. So as far as your writing process goes, you have this endless world to play with. How do you make the decisions of where to go next? I mean, do you just have a giant wall of fantasy and blindly throw a dart and say, hey, we're going to play in that world for a bit, or... And do you meticulously weave it through, or do you just let... I mean, how do you make that decision when you have so much to play with?
Well, you know, I have a... like, the room I use to write, actually, I have a special room I use to write in. I have a shelf that have 5 levels of shelves, and each shelf is full of notebooks with different ideas. And every idea I have, I recorded it there since 2007. So I have a full shelf of ideas. And that's how I do, how I approach everything. And at the same time, I have another shelf that I used to put books, research, and everything. It's filled with Mesopotamian, Japanese myths, Chinese myths, and everything. And I do my research there, and everything I find, I just put it on the note and kind of, I have some kind of a collecting ideas, you know. I just collect ideas, and on the other side of the notes, I frame the story. So this is how I approach my ideas. And once I have the A, B, C till Z, that's when I start to write them on the computer. You know, this is my method. This is my approach on my ideas, but mostly
that's
research.
Incredible.
Is my most interesting part is though, and writing is the research.
I love it. So, I mean, you seem like a highly intelligent guy. I mean, tell us, what's your education level at, man? Because I am extremely intrigued. I mean, how you've got to have all of the degrees. I mean, am I talking to? I mean,
actually, no. I'm my degree is actually I have a master's in orthodontics. Yeah. So this is my educational degree. Yeah.
You put braces in people's mouths and then you do this when you get home. This is they couldn't be. I mean, there's not a whole lot of creativity when it comes to orthodontics, I would imagine. And so, I mean, that probably is actually a good thing. So you get to funnel all of that, build up all that creativity when you're, you know, tightening and clamping down someone's face, and then. You go home and then you just unleash it all on paper, and that's amazing.
A good part of a good part of story creating is when you zone out, when you don't do what you're supposed to be doing. It helps your subconscious to form the idea, and best ideas come from the subconscious. So sometimes when I'm walking at the clinic, or when I'm jogging, or when I'm not actually thinking about my ideas, that's when my best ideas pops out suddenly, you know. So yeah.
That's awesome, man. You seem like such a smart guy. You have all of this knowledge about all of this fantastical stuff, and you have a master's in orthodontics. I don't know. It's you. I can't wait to see what this comic world brings to you. So once it's funded on Indiegogo, and I say once it's funded because there's no chance that it's going to fail, do you plan on maybe pitching this to any publishers at all, or do you want to just? I mean, because everything's really weird right now with publishers. I mean, the days of distribution and all that. I mean, that's a coin that's still flipping up in the air right now. Who knows when that coin's gonna land? So, Is that something that you're just not focused on right now, or let's maybe go back 6 weeks and did you have a plan to, before all of this, or I mean, where are you at on that?
Well, my plan is the same as before 6 months ago. For me, I've taken it baby steps. First, I want to make the comic. I want people to see that I have something interesting, you know. So, because if you pitch anyone, if you're, I'm a stranger to them. I'm just this Iraqi guy who's married to a Chinese woman, and who creates a comic book out of nowhere. I mean, they're not going to be attracted to me suddenly, you know. But if I did this Indiegogo, if I attracted more readers, if more people say, yeah, we want that, eventually they're going to find me, you know. So this is my plan from the start. So first of all, I'm just going to start this Indiegogo. I'm trying to build my own fan base, and then we'll see about the big guys and the big company publishing companies. Hopefully they're going to have me.
Yeah. I think once this gets out there with this premise of this story, man, and you get enough of the story told to be able to, you know, show them some finished project, all, you know, and pitch it proper, I think that they're going to be fighting over you. I think this is a great story. I do. It's unique. There's nobody else out there doing this. And take it from a guy that would read 30 books every week for, you know, that's what my homework was. I mean, I was the biggest comic or Wednesday warrior on New Comic Book Day. I mean, this is what I do. I read books, and this is, I've never, there's nothing out there like this. I have not read this. I have not read the autistic superhero that's more overpowered than any human should be. And he's just got regular abilities that people on the everyday surface tend to actually, on some twisted level, even make fun of. So this is gold, man. This is gold. I can't wait to see where this takes you. And I'm actually, I'm kind of patting myself on the back for being someone that said yes early, because I'm going to be able to say, hey, I remember I was one of the first guys that backed his Indiegogo. Yeah, man, I'm excited. I'm super excited for you, Ahmed.
You made me more excited about my work.
Well, I mean, so I think creators need that. I do. I think creators need to that boost to confidence and let people know. Because especially right now, when there really is not a whole lot of social interaction occurring, I mean, yeah, sometimes you need to be assured that what you're doing is still the right thing, and you should continue on doing it. And yeah, man, I have no problem being that person for this moment until you move on to the next podcast and they tell you the same thing, and then so on and so forth. But yeah, this is I'm happy for you, man. So what's the plan as far as the release of this, as far as a date goes? When does the campaign kick off, and when do you plan on getting this in our hands so we can read it?
Well, the campaign will start on the 15th of May. It's going to run for 30 days. Hopefully we get everything in order. And Indiegogo, they give us the funds within 15 days. So let's say a month later is going to be the preparatory thing. During that time, me and my artist, who's doing the sketch and the inking, his name is Felix Torres. He's from Chile. He's an amazing artist. We're going to be working on the comic, and it will take us around a month to finish the whole thing. So I'm aiming for a September or October release, but to do it, you know, more comfortably, you know, I'm going to do it on October. So hopefully it's going to be on your heads in October. And if I was able to get, you know, to reach more than what we need, I'm going to release even the second issue at the same time, not just the first issue. So yeah, we'll see.
That's incredible. That's awesome. That's not a bad timeline at all. It's really not. October's right around the corner. It's I know that's blasphemous to say, but it really is. It's when it comes to comics, it moves so quickly. I don't know. I'm excited, man. I can't wait to have this. And you're going to be putting out digital PDFs as well, so people don't have to wait on the snail mail and all of that. So yeah, but I always wait for the physical copy. I do. Let's talk about Felix, man. How'd you find your artist? How'd that come about?
Well, I joined a lot of Facebook group artist groups, and when I decided to find someone who can join me in my venture, I looked up many other artists, and I found Felix. I saw his art style, and it's almost similar to the 2000 AD style, and which I like. So when I contacted him and I told him about my story, my idea, and I showed him the first two issues. I did the first two issues by myself, just like a storyboard, you know, like a film storyboard, and I showed him what I had, and he was very interested, you know, and that's and he's a very interesting guy. I mean, I really like him, and that's how I found Felix, and he became my partner in crime.
That's awesome. You know, I'm finding that some of my favorite collaborations between artists and writers on a random basis always comes from these Facebook groups. I've several creators now, and the ones that are creating my favorite things, that's how they find their people. And I love that this is the age we're in now. It's so easy, it almost makes it harder. There's too much to choose from and so many opportunities now.
Yeah, you're right.
But
choices.
Oh, man. How many no's did you have to dish out before you found him and realized this is the guy? I mean, I'm sure there was more than just him saying, "Let me get in on this."
Well, as you said, there are so many choices. So when I looked down, there were plenty of candidates, and it took me, I think, a couple of 2 days or 3 days to fish one out. Actually, there was another artist I found in the beginning, and he was very interested, but later he told me that his timing and his studies and everything, like he told me he cannot commit. And commitment is very important for my project. So when I found Felix, you know, I saw his art and I saw how long does it take for him to finish a page and everything, and he's pretty talented. And that's when I thought, yeah, that's the guy, that's my guy. So yeah, it took me a couple of days. You know, it sounds like it's not it's an easy process, but it's not. It's in these couple of days I had to look up for so many artists.
Yeah, well, I think the two most important aspects that an artist should possess are speed and commitment, and those are the two hardest ones to find, because artists are slow, and it's so hard to find anybody that's committed to anything these days. So once you do find that, those are the first two things you need to latch on to. Everything else after that, as far as style goes, that's all stuff that could be worked around, unless you completely have a specific style in your head that it has to be. In that case, good luck finding that artist. But other than that, I mean, if you're just fishing for whatever's out there, you just want to make sure that somebody's there for the project. And I like that those are the two things that you looked for first, because that is easily the first thing that I would go to when looking for an artist. So it's nice to know that Felix is in, man. I'm stoked. I like this style. It's very detailed. It's definitely very stylistic for sure. There's a lot going on, but at the same time, you're it's not muddy. You know, you could still make out everything. It's easy to digest. Let's put it that way. Is he coloring it as well?
Yeah. No, I'm the colorist.
Oh, you're the colorist.
Yeah.
Oh, nice, man. To say, because you said you were a bit of an artist yourself, you have that background in creating the motion comics and everything. So are you going to take this to that's awesome. Are you going to put out some variant covers and stuff of your own?
I thought about it, but I haven't decided yet what kind of variant cover I'm going to do, but yeah, most probably I'm going to do that.
I love to see it. I love to see them. I know I'm going to be all in on this campaign, because I don't remember the last time I've been so excited about the premise of a book, because it's so new at the same, but it's something that I've been wanting for a few years now. So I'm I'm all in on this. So you should definitely make it. I don't know how Indiegogo works, but there's stretch goals and Kickstarter. So you hit a certain amount and then you keep going and then you get other little bonuses. And so, yeah, no, I don't know if Indiegogo has that. But if that's the case, then yeah, no, we need an Al-Amin variant cover. Let's make it happen.
fingers crossed. We'll see.
Oh yeah. Yeah, don't worry, this is gonna work. I am your champion on this. I'm gonna be all over it, man. I'm gonna make sure all my people get on it. And yeah, you're good, this is gonna work. So creating comics outside of the United States, forgive my ignorance, but is it just like you would, any other situation? Or, is it a little harder because the industry isn't as big? I don't know. I'm kind of lost on this. I have to bring it up, though, because of my ignorance.
Well, the thing is, I'm also ignorant about how it's done in the United States. So.
Okay. Well,
really ignorant in this matter, but for me, I'm approaching this as I approached my my other artistic projects, which is I'm not sure if I mentioned this. I'm already a published writer. I have a couple of books on Amazon, and I approach them as an artist. You know, so the same. That's how I approach this comic book. First of all, I created and do these things, and then I find the publisher. And if I couldn't find a publisher, I just find a place to print by myself. So, like a printer and publish by myself. So that's how it's done here, and that's how it's done for most of the people here in our country. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. No, that seems about the same then. It doesn't seem very different at all. I'm sure there's some listeners right now going, "You fucking idiot, Brian." I don't know, because there's this mythos outside of the United States that everybody's on lockdown in their own way, shape, or form, and you know, everybody that's not in the land of the free and the home of the brave is in some sort of cage. So I wonder, as far as, you know, creatistic freedoms and things like that, do you have, I was wondering, threshold, or I don't know. I was wondering if there's anything holding you back. I guess that's kind of what I was getting to say or trying to say. I just wasn't verbalizing it very well. But yeah, okay. Well, it's good to know that you're just, you don't have those bars and all of that. It is... You are able to create this. I love it. I love it. You're not hiding it from anyone.
No.
Cool. This is awesome.
So yeah. Thanks, man. Thanks. I appreciate it.
Do you have this idea as far as your legacy in comics go? Is there something out there that, okay, I wanna get out there, I wanna do this, I wanna finish this, I do have an ending to it, I'm not gonna do it forever, and then I'm gonna move on to this? Or is this You're cool with, just making this your mark? Or where do you see yourself in this industry?
As I mentioned, I have a full shelf of ideas, and each notebook, some notebooks actually are divided into different ideas. So it's like the shelf has another shelf within its shelf. So it's yeah. So I already have a lot of ideas are prepared, and I mentioned that I did this motion comic thing. I did actually two episodes, but I didn't finish the thing. It's already written and ready, you know. So one day maybe I'm gonna even work on that to make it into a comic. I also already have another idea called Ascent, which is already fully written. So yeah, I mean there are so many ideas in my head that if I don't let them out, I'm gonna just find myself in an asylum or something, you know.
Yeah, I love it.
For my sanity.
I love it. That's assuring to hear. That's for sure. So you there's no desire or need to go off and play with the big two. You don't need to go off and write Spider-Man. You got your own stuff to write. Or if Marvel hits you up and said, "Hey, man, I want to write some Spider-Man for us," are you gonna? How's that conversation gonna go for you?
It's gonna be a struggle, you know, and inner struggle between myself. But honestly, I have a lot of stories I want to tell. So if I have to tell someone else's stories, it's gonna be, it's gonna take much time away from my other story. But if I find myself, I can manage, I'll definitely do it. You know, if I can write my stories and other stories at the same time, yeah, I can do that, of course. But if I have to choose, no, I'm gonna choose my own stories.
That's awesome.
Especially since not so many people know stories from our culture and our civilization. So I want to tell something from our point of view. I want to show the people something different. So that's why.
That's an incredible answer. I love that answer. You all the more reason. I'm loving what you do, man. The more you talk, the more you have me hooked in, that's for sure. I'm sure the listeners are all feeling the same thing. You're just a lovable guy, man. You have all the right things to say.
Oh, thanks.
this is why I do these things, too. It's not just about saying, hey, this guy creates this. I'm letting the listeners really know who you are as a person and a creator, just beyond being a creator as well. How your brain works and how you operate. And, I dissect people as I see them. You know, I pick everything apart. I'm very analytical, and you know, that's how I determine good and bad as far as people go. And I'm sure there's a lot of other listeners out there. So the more that you talk, the more people are able to analyze, and the more likable that you come off, which you are, then the more people are going to get your books. So this isn't me just, you know, yanking your chain or anything like that. This is, I don't know. I guess I'm just explaining the method to my madness here. You're doing great.
Thanks, man. Thanks. I was nervous before I started, but I feel more comfortable now.
Oh, no, never be nervous. Never be nervous. You should have all the confidence. Look what you're writing, man. I want to keep talking to you. I want to keep dissecting everything about you. You seem like a scholar, like you're holding back. There's things that you're too humble to tell me. I have a feeling. So I usually do these rapid fire word association types of things, but this time I'm gonna switch it up for you. I'm just gonna ask you a few just general questions about how you feel in comics. I mean, they're gonna be kind of white bread questions, but at the same time, maybe it's still going to allow myself and the listeners to learn just a little bit more about you. So I got to know, man. I mean, do you have a favorite superhero outside of your own creative work? I mean, who's your guy or girl?
Guy or girl? Let's see. It's kind of a difficult question, you know, when you have that big of universes, not just a universe. So. But I'll tell you who I was attracted to since I was a child, Batman, since I was a kid. And the reason why, even though I was a kid, you know, there are those superheroes who can fly, who can swing, who can smash into walls. But for some reason, I was drawn to Batman for the simple fact that he's merely human, you know, who gets beating every time, but he keeps getting up, and that's a challenge, you know? And that's why I was drawn to him, you know? And growing up, it wasn't easy, you know? Because I was born as an expatriate, so, you know, having the inner strength, you know, the strength of will. For me, Batman's superpower is his will, you know? And that's why I was drawn to him since I was a kid. And yeah. So I would say Batman.
That's definitely his most admirable trait. I am fully behind on that. Batman was always, he's always the, if you look at any of my baby pictures, there's always a Batman something in there. Oversized Batman, baseball cap. I mean, Batman toys, it was everything until I could read, and then it was Iron Man. But Batman was definitely the thing that got me. And I think if it wasn't for Batman, I don't know if Iron Man would have ever happened. You know, I mean, I may have never found that interest. So, yeah, I mean, it's I love it. That's a great answer. How about as far as villains go? Is there a villain out there that I don't want to say a favorite villain, because that's a weird that's a weird way to put it, but is there a villain out there that you're most attracted to as far as storylines or however it may be?
I would say Magneto. I like Magneto. I like him a lot.
His another conviction. Very interesting. Yes. Yes.
A villain. You know, more. You know when you start to agree with the villain, that's when you know that this guy is a great villain. You know, whoever is portraying it, whoever you're reading about it. So, when he start to make good points, that's the kind of villain I like.
Yeah, when you start questioning your own morals, like, wait a second, I like his point more. You know, I mean, we all saw how the whole Thanos was right thing for the longest time.
Yeah,
I mean, it's yeah, you can convince enough people, and you're not all of a sudden not the bad guy, and that's definitely an admirable trait. I like the qualities that you look for in these characters. What was the last comic book that you read?
It's called Lock and Key. It's not a superhero comic. At the moment, I'm reading a comic called 13. I didn't finish it yet, but Lock and Key is the one I just finished. I heard there's a Netflix adaptation of that comic.
There is, yeah. My girlfriend binged it all. She said it was incredible. I unfortunately don't have the time to dive into TV like I would like to, but she said it was incredible, and I said, you know, it's a comic, right? Stephen King's son wrote that, and she's like, what? They're like, yeah, everything he loves a comic. You just don't know it. Everything we love's a comic. Nobody knows it, though. So that's
actually
awesome.
The Netflix version, they say it's more family friendly, but the comic is extremely smart. I love everything about it. So yeah, I recommend that you read it if you haven't started yet, if you haven't went through it yet. So yeah,
it's definitely on my list, my very, very big list of things I need to check out. And with the ever-growing popularity of Lock and Key here in the States now, because of the Netflix series, it's starting to become more mainstream, and it's getting to the point now where I'm the comic book, air quote, guru that hasn't read the thing that all of these other people that didn't know about comics have read now because of a show. So now I gotta go back and read this thing. So yeah, it's definitely
you should.
But I'm also a big fan of Joe Hill too, so he's never disappointed me. So yeah, I'm not reluctant by any means. It's just a matter of time, but there seems to be a little bit more time than usual these days.
Yeah.
What is 13?
Oh, it's actually, I heard about it a very long time ago. It's actually a Belgian comic, and it's inspired by JFK's assassination. And it's very brilliant. It's a mix of Jason Bourne and the JFK thing, and they made it a very beautiful spy thriller comic that keeps throwing curveballs at you every chapter you read, you know. And it's very, very smartly written, and the stories and the characters are memorable, you know. And yeah, I'm still going through this comic, you know. I didn't finish it yet, but it's really smart, well written, and it's very beautiful, you know, to experience. Yeah.
All right. You definitely have my interest on that. I'm going to look into that. I have it written down here. What's your favorite single? And now this is probably going to be the most difficult answer or question to answer. But what is your favorite single issue of a comic you've read?
I forgot what it's called. I read it like 2 months ago. It's Lovecraftian, you know, Lovecraftian horror comic. It Looks Back. Yeah, I just remembered. It's called It Looks Back, but I forgot the name of the creator. Yeah.
All right.
It Looks Back. Yeah, it's really good. Yeah.
You're turning me on to some good stuff here, man. I'm looking forward to checking that out. It Looks Back. I love it. I love when someone brings to my attention something I haven't heard of. This is why indie comics are supreme, man. And this is why they need more of the voice, man. Yeah. There's so much good stuff out there that's just getting muddied up by not so great stuff, but with a bigger bankroll, so they're able to be on top for a moment, and it makes it hard for the good creators. And your favorite single issue. All right, cool. I'm gonna check that out. Now, do you know who published that by any chance?
I'm afraid not. He's self-published. Okay. He's an indie author, indie creator. Right. Cool. Yeah.
Cool. It's even better.
Pretty cool. Yeah.
Right on. This is awesome. I love it, man. This is great. You have turned me on to some stuff that I can't wait to dive into, particularly the epics of Enkidu. It sounds amazing. I can't say that enough. I am truly, truly excited about this. I can't wait till the day that I get to open it up and read it. October is right around the corner. We all know how quickly the summertime rolls around.
Yeah, and by the way, October is my favorite month, you know, because of Halloween. I really love Halloween, but the problem is we don't have Halloween where I live. So my Halloween ritual is to watch as much horror movies as I can on Spooktober, you know. So yeah.
What's your go-to? What's the first one on Halloween that you have to see? What's your go-to? What's your tradition as far as the repeat?
Oh, repeat-wise, I'm really a big fan of Lovecraftian horror. And the movie that really does well to Lovecraftian ideas is, it's called AM 1200. It's a 40 or 50 minutes long movie, but it's very smartly done. And the other movie, which is a very terrifying movie, it's called The Banshee Chapter. The Banshee Chapter. Those two movies are the one to go to in Spooktober. So yeah.
All right, right on. See, I ask these questions because I look forward to the day that we get a horror book now, and then I can go through and realize, this is what he likes. So yes, you have a forever follower, man. Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Well, you know, I appreciate that. I do. I'm going to tell everybody where they can find you. I'm going to leave all of the links in the description, especially to the Indiegogo campaign. It's going to be the first thing you see in the description when this episode does go up. So in the meantime, I mean, you got any social media plugs, anything like that? Where can they get a hold of you?
Oh, sure, you can get a hold of me on Twitter, of course. The account dedicated for the comic is called Hero Autistic. And then on Instagram, it's Hero_Autistic. And if you want to check my writing page, it's A_H_MIN. So that's my writing page. You can check me out anytime if you want to shoot any questions, you know, check out what kind of a person I am. Just, you're welcome to visit these pages. So, yeah.
Well, I think we all know what kind of person you are at this point. This 48 minutes has summed up your life completely. We all know. This is all we... no, I can't wait to have you on again. I have tons more questions. This is not going to be the last time we talk. I would expect early next year we'll be scheduling another call here, I would imagine. I can't imagine anything less than that. So
can't wait, man.
Ahmed Al-Amin, thank you so much for your time. I look forward to continuing to follow you. You stay safe in your quarantine, and always yes. Well, you take care. Cheers, sir.
Likewise. Cheers.
All right, there you have it. Another creator has been cornered. Another interview in the books. And as always, I learned to love something new. I did. I had no idea who Ahmed Al-Amin was before he came to me. Like I said, and it was explained throughout this podcast, he came to me with something very intriguing, and I do not regret in any way, shape, or form doing this interview. I'm pumped. I'm pumped. I urge you, please go to Indiegogo. All of the links will be in the description, of course. Support Epics of Enkidu. I'm telling you, it's amazing. You're going to love it. So, yeah, man. Shit. I think this has been a podcast. I got to remind you, right after you join the Indiegogo, you got to head on over to Patreon.com, patreon.com/cheers2comics. Become an official member of the Slurred Army. I have t-shirts being printed right now. As soon as those arrive to me, I'm going to change up some tiers. And, ooh, doggies, it's going to be good. It's going to be good. You could join for as little as a dollar, too. As little as a dollar, I'm going to send you out some stickers. You're going to get all of the access to all of the ad-free episodes that I put up. A lot of those episodes, most of them are put up way early now. I got a bunch of sandbagged episodes now. So, yeah, get on that. I know I've got a couple of interviews, at least one interview right now. I lose track. One interview on there that's been up there for about 3 weeks, and that interview is still yet to air. There's only a few people on the entire planet that have access to amazing interviews. And in order for you to find out who these interviews are, and they're badasses, I'm telling you. Or at least one of them. Like I said, I lose track. I don't want to say names because I don't remember which one's left on there. I lose track. But fact is, there's some good ones. One, at least. Patreon.com/cheers2comics. Also, leave 5-star reviews wherever you review your podcasts. I cannot tell you how important it is to do so. Just trust me. You're just going to have to trust me. If you made it this far in the podcast, then you got to have at least a little faith in me, right? My word is golden. Please leave 5-star reviews, please. That wraps it up. It has officially been a podcast. Another creator in the books. I'm so excited. I think I made a friend. On the other side of the planet, too. Might be my furthest friend. I don't know. You slurs, make sure you wash your hands, read responsibly. Cheers, fuckers.
You're listening to Cheers to Comics podcast.
This is Mark Russell, and you're listening to the Cheers to Comics podcast.
Hey, everyone. I'm Monty Michael Moore, and this is the Cheers to Comics podcast with Brian Wayne.
Hey, everybody. This is RJ,
Ash,
Ray,
Brandon,
Harrison,
and Bronson.
We host a Dungeons & Dragons podcast called Realms and Nerds. Some highlights of our show include wreaking havoc in every town we visit,
blowing up hot tubs,
killing off fan favorite characters,
high necromancers,
inappropriate wedding etiquette,
and every now and then, actually good storytelling.
Join us in the realms of Prydia for fun fantasy adventures. You can find us on Podbean, iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or just about wherever you get podcasts.